Yeah, thinking back on it, I really felt like on that trip, I had some special to go and spend time all throughout Israel. Of Jerusalem. Talk about, I really felt like special access, getting to walk through the gates of Jerusalem. We read about that in Scripture, but it's actually a real place. You can walk through the gates of Jerusalem, and I was able to do that. I was able to go to the western wall of the temple, where you find a lot of Jewish people praying. And I got to go there and pray. When I was there, we got to see a bar mitzvah going on, a young man with him, with a whole group of men behind him, and they were in a somewhat of a parade and dancing, and it was a joyous time. When I was there, I got to see the Temple Mount. If you look across there, you can see the walls of the Temple Mount. Right now, the Muslim holy site, the Dome of the Rock, is on top of the Temple Mount. But I got to see that. And I didn't just get to see it, but I got to go up there. When we read about Jesus going to the temple and walking around in the temple courts, I was able to walk up there. Again, I really felt like I had special access. It was an amazing trip. But it wasn't just about the sites that we went to. I was also able to meet people. I see it now. I look a lot younger here, right? But so this was a man that lived in Bethlehem. He was a Christian man, lived in Bethlehem. And I stayed with him and his family for 2 days. I went with them to church for a baptism of a nephew. I had meals with him and his family. We got to go grocery shopping in Bethlehem with this family. Got to meet his extended family. It was a wonderful time, and not just him, but I also met this other fellow. This guy is an olive farmer. He had an olive grove. And we got to spend an afternoon talking with him and getting to know him as well. I could go on for a couple of hours with pictures, but I'll stop with one more here before we get started. I got to sail on the Sea of Galilee. You know, these are things we read about in Scripture, but I was on the Sea of Galilee in a boat. We didn't have any wild storms that came up or anything like that, but like I said, I really felt like I had special access, that I had an enormous privilege, that I was enormously blessed by being able to go and spend some time in Israel with a local missionary. Today, we're going to be looking at the letter to the Hebrews, and the passage we're looking at today talks about the good news that we have in Jesus, that all of God's faithful people have special access. And this special access, it far exceeds the best trip of your life. It exceeds the best VIP all access pass that you've ever had. So, let us head into our scripture for today. Today we are looking at Hebrews 10. And we're looking at verses 19 to 25. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. You're welcome to, we'll have the scripture on screen, but if you have your own Bible with you or your Bible app, or if you'd like to grab a Pew Bible, you can turn to that too. The Pew Bible's page 1873. All right, let us pray, and then we'll have the reading of God's Word. Gracious God, we thank you for giving us the truth, for giving us your word. Lord, we trust in your word. We know that you spoke through the prophets and apostles and teachers so that we would know the truth. And Lord, we have the truth right in the palm of our hands. We are so thankful. Guide us now through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what the writer of Hebrews has to say. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Have confidence. Persevere in the Lord. This isn't something for tomorrow. It's something for today, for right now. Have confidence in this. Believe this deeply. Know this deeply. Cherish it. This good news that we have in Jesus. And it's this that you have access. You have access. Access to what? You have access to God. I talked about it in all access pass earlier. And we have that. As Christians, sincere in heart, we have access to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you have access to God. I love the imagery that we have here in this passage. This right here is what the temple would have looked like on the Temple Mount. You saw that there's a Muslim holy site, the Dome of the Rock, on top of there now, but before 70 AD, when this was torn down, this is what was there. This is what Jesus would have seen and where Jesus would have been. He would have been here at the temple. And here at the temple, you have the building there in the back, the real tall building. Back in there would have been a place called the Holy of Holies. And this Holy of Holies would have been a place where the people could not go. This is a place where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. This place was known as God's presence on earth. And like I said, this wasn't open for the public. This wasn't a place that you or I could go in. There was only one person that could go into this place one time a year. That was the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the high priest would go in there and would sprinkle the sacrificial blood of the Lamb on the Ark of the Covenant. He would also burn incense in there too. One time a year by one man a year. There was limited access to the holy place, to the Holy of Holies. But now, through the precious blood of Jesus, this is what his sacrifice on the cross was all about. Through the precious blood of Jesus, you now have access. He was our sacrificial lamb. You have access to the most holy place. You have access to the dwelling place of God. You have access to God in heaven. And for you and for me, you have no need to be in Jerusalem. You have no need to go to the Western Wall, or no need to walk around on the Temple Mount. You know, after I came home, I encountered some interesting questions about my trip. I had somebody ask me, "Barry, when you were in Israel, when you were walking around at the different sites there, walking on the same streets that Jesus walked on, up on the Temple Mount, did it feel more holy? Did you feel closer to God? Did you have some sort of a magical experience there?" And I said, "No." "No." "Well, why not?" It's because as Christians, as children of God, we have full access to God wherever we are. Whether it be in Israel, whether it be in America, whether we're stuck on a space station like the two astronauts that were, we're close to God as Christians, and we don't have to go somewhere to feel closer to God. We have access to Him now. There's no need for the building. There's no need for the Holy of Holies anymore. We have direct access. The writer to the Hebrews says that we have a new and living way. A new and living way. Well, what is the new and living way? Access to the Father? It's Jesus and His body and His blood that was broken for us and put up on a cross. This is our access to the Father. We don't need a place. We don't need a building. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant. We have Jesus' body broken for us. We're no longer separated from God by the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. That curtain was torn in two, all because of Jesus. So rather than being kept separated from God, now we are brought near to God and close to God. And I want to bring some clarifying thoughts here, especially if you have been struggling lately when it comes to faith, when it comes to prayer. Our access to God is not about how we feel. Our access to God is not about how we feel. It's not about what's going on this day or the next day. It's not about what's going on with our struggles, but our access is solely based on Jesus and His sacrifice. Looking to Him, we have access to God. Why? It has everything to do with who He is. Jesus is fully God, fully man, went to the cross, died for our sins, and He has superiority. We know that He wore the crown of thorns and bled and died for us, but we also know that He is King. He is King over all of creation. In Colossians chapter 1, we've been learning all about Colossians in the XYZ Bible study, but in Colossians 1, we hear that Jesus, He is the firstborn over all creation. In Him, all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He is the firstborn from among the dead. In everything, Jesus has has superiority and supremacy. Not only that, but we also know that Jesus is our great priest. He is our great high priest, and he has not limited access to the holy place, but he has everlasting access to the holy place. We know that our Savior Jesus right now is in the throne room of God at the right hand of the Father. And it is Jesus who is there pleading on your behalf and mine. Jesus is our high priest, our great priest, our mediator, our sacrifice once and for all. This is who Jesus is. So, number one, don't be afraid to draw near to God. Don't be afraid to draw near to God. If we have real and sincere faith, we know and have assurance that we have truly been washed and cleansed by Jesus and his sacrifice. Now, you might wonder, how do we draw near to Jesus? How do you draw near? Well, certainly prayer is a vital part of it. And you don't have to get on ChatGTP or go on Google Gemini and go to some sort of AI and type in there how to, you know, create for me a wonderful prayer that praises God and asks for blessing. You don't have to go on ChatGTP and come up with a real fancy, eloquent prayer. Prayer is something that's personal. It's just about you talking to God. That's prayer. Wherever you are, whether it be in the garden, in the car, at home, in your room, mowing the lawn, riding motorcycle, wherever it is you find yourself, at work or at school, you can talk to your Father in heaven because we have access through Jesus, through his body and his blood. So, prayer is vital. Another important part of drawing near to God is our Bible intake. We're talking about reading and studying God's Word, having the Word of God preached to you is also an important part of our Bible intake. So prayer, Bible intake, and this is not something that we are to do alone, but it is something that we do together in fellowship, participating in a local church, something that you do with other people. It's not a solo sport. It's also important that this all take place under faithful elders and pastors. It's another vital component to this whole thing. Like I said, it's not a solo sport. We do this thing together, but we also do it under the guidance of faithful pastors and faithful elders. Now, what's your part in this thing we do together? We also have to recognize that we've all been given gifts to use to glorify God. We use those with one another. So, prayer, Bible intake, in fellowship, under faithful elders and pastors, using your gifts. So, number one, draw near. Number two, don't sway back and forth in the wind. When struggles come up, stay strong in the faith. When you get swept up in good times, continue to have that same hope. Never abandon Jesus, because he is faithful. Jesus is in perfect obedience to the Father's will. Jesus has an unwavering commitment to you and his mission to bring all of God's children home. Jesus is utterly reliable for salvation, and he is perfectly faithful and true. And we can stand in awe of him by holding fast, drawing near to him, and holding fast. When I was in Israel, I was in awe of who Jesus is. This spot right here, this is built over the spot where they think Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. This next spot right here, this is built over where they think Jesus died on the cross, in Jerusalem. And then here, this small church is built over the spot where they think Jesus was buried, in the tomb, in Jerusalem. We can stand in awe of the very real Savior, Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, was born for us, died for us, and was resurrected right here or somewhere close. So draw near and hold fast. All of us need relationship with Jesus. This faith can't be our parents' faith. It can't be our spouse's faith. It can't be our kids' faith or our friends' faith. We must make it ours. Faith and trust in Jesus, and in Jesus alone. We've got to own it for real. And like I mentioned earlier, we're not to do it alone. Now, when it comes to that part, I've always gotten a few questions. Does the church save? Does the church save? No. The church does not save. Jesus saves. Do you have to be a part of a church to be saved? No. Again, Jesus saves. And for both of these questions, I can point to the cross. Jesus was put up on the cross, and there were two criminals, one on one side of him, one on the other side of him. Now, this man that was one of the men that was next to him, he pretty well cursed Jesus, but the other man, he ended up having faith in Jesus. Did he have time to become part of a church? No. Did he have time to even be baptized? No. But Jesus promised him, because he was faithful, that he would be with him that same day in paradise. So do these things save? No, Jesus saves. But I did want to show you something here. I have a hat. It's got a little picture of a wolf on it. And at the top here it says, lone wolf, lone wolf. Well, when it comes to being a Christian, we know that it's through Jesus that we're saved, but at the same time, we're not to be lone wolf Christians. In fact, a churchless Christian is a contradiction in terms. All throughout Scripture, we hear that we are to do this thing together, and we are sheep, and Jesus, he is our great shepherd. We are part of the flock, and just like there's not supposed to be any lone wolves, as Christians, we're not to be lone sheep either. We should be doing this thing together. So, we should not be deriving all of our spiritual input through the internet, through Facebook, or through YouTube. We need to be connected. We need to be connected to the church. Now, I do want to put a note on here for those of you that are homebound. That's a different story because we know that you'd like to be here with us but are not able. For everyone who is able, should not be a lone sheep or a lone wolf, but should be doing this thing with others. We need each other. We need each other to grow. Listen to this. From Colossians, this is Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Living an active faith is practicing these things together. Practicing these things together. Ministering to one another. So, don't give up on church. Don't develop a bad attitude about church. And if you're looking to wander, you'll be missing something very important. In the church, you will encounter other sinners. We're all sinners, and we're going to encounter other sinners. And in the church, we're going to deal with troubled people, just like we are also troubled people. And you're going to face tough circumstances. But what if, think about this, what if being merciful, humble, patient, showing kindness and gentleness in all of those situations, instead of anger and all of those other things, if you show all of these things, it will lead us all to be more dependent on Jesus, and it will cause us all to grow as disciples. That one's kind of a challenging one. Now, we know that God's not the author of evil. But what if he allows strife in the church for your benefit so that you can work on being compassionate, so that you can work on being kind and humble and gentle and patient, so that you grow as a disciple of Jesus, and not just grow individually, but grow together as a group. I know all of us would love to be part of the perfect church, but the perfect church does not exist. Practicing these things, God will cause us to grow together. I guess we can think of a greenhouse. And a greenhouse isn't just one plant in the middle of the room, but it's lots of plants growing together. That's the call of the church. Now, this past while, we have been reading a book called Scrappy Church. And it's been a good reminder for us that, yes, we have wonderful access to God. And we are called to grow together in Jesus with love and good deeds, as the writer of Hebrews suggests. And we have a mission. Our mission is to introduce more and more people to Jesus and to help them get connected so that they're not lone wolves or lone sheep out there, but to help them get connected. And this book offers us a blueprint, a way for us to rethink how we might do church. Now, this blueprint has three components, three things. The first one is massively looking outward. Massively looking outward. In fact, the book suggests looking outward four times what we're currently doing. Massively looking outward. On top of looking outward, it also calls us to think about being beyond ready for new people. So that when new people show up in our parking lot, from there all the way in, they feel welcome, they know where they're going, they know where they should park, they know which door is the main door, they're greeted perhaps by a welcome center on the way in, and given crucial information about the church that they're checking out. And we could go on and on and on, but being beyond ready for new people. And not only the outward and being ready for new people, but that we're also making sure that we are ready for them when they get here, that we are working on deep discipleship among us, so that when people come, they grow and grow and grow and grow and stay. Those are the three things: massively looking outward, being beyond ready for new people, and having deep discipleship among us. We have been united together in Jesus for the glory of God, encouraging one another so that Christ will be known in our community. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you so much for allowing us access to the Father